Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, which is great because Fukushima irradiated and everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to save the economy. My very special guest, I'm not 100% sure on the pronunciation, but we've tried out. Is it Svi Maisenai?
Sinai.
Okay. I got it now. Do you have a website by chance?
Pardon?
Do you have a website?
Yes. www.the-engagement.org.
Org. All right, bringing it up now. The-engagement.org. Okay, right. Well, we have a nice big peace dove there and a Star of David and a language that I cannot read.
No, you have to switch in the top right corner. There's an English and you
switch to
English.
I got it. I have switched to English. Okay, so you've made a book here, and you got some videos, and an alternative solution to the binational state. Could you really just give us a bit of a background or just on who you are and what you do for the audience's sake?
Yeah, I am the pioneer of the Israeli software industry. I learned physics, and then I was recruited to the army where I dealt with the computers, mainly software. And after I've done a lot of activity in that area and made several revolutions in software, I decided when I saw the failure of the Oslo process, of the two-state direction, with the beginning of the Second Intifada, I've decided it's time to make a revolution here because just the plain approach of the two-state solution cannot happen. Despite the fact that if it happens, it's the best solution, it cannot happen. That's the main point. And that's why I looked for an alternative solution.
Okay, and what is your alternative solution?
Okay. Based on many studies, the two of them I made myself with help of others, it becomes clear that the vast majority of the Palestinians are Jews that remained in the country after the destruction of the temple, after the destruction of the Jewish independence 2,000 years ago, and were forced to convert to Islam. This is the majority of the people, which means that the Palestinians are not Arabs by their nationality. They are only Arab by the culture of the occupier here. And from the national point of view, from their blood and origin, they are Jewish. It comes as a main surprise, and it is astonishing, but there are many studies, including genetic studies and anthropological studies that I have done myself to a large extent, but previously others have done some work about it, especially the second president of Israel, Yitzhak Ben Tzvi. It shows that actually the Palestinians have nothing to do with being Arabs by nationality, by their origin. And based on this, the natural solution is to return these Palestinians to the people of Israel without forcing any religion on conversion on them and create one state for one people, which means not two states for two people, not one state for two people, but one state for one people. This is the alternative solution.
Okay, well, this is flies in the face of what most people's common understanding is, that there's two very distinct racial groups and they've been at each other for, 50, 60 years or something of that nature, probably longer.
And
90 years, okay. Definitely longer then. And the perspective becomes that here's what I found about the situation. It's like both sides have gone nuts, okay? So one side is highly financed militarily wise, you know, the Israeli side by the United States, a couple of billion dollars a year in military hardware, as far as I know. And they use that military hardware on the other people, you know. Seems kind of a little
Use this expensive equipment on the Palestinians. They have nothing to fight with. And if there was nothing else except for the Palestinian, we could contribute to the American company much more than they are contributing to us.
Mm. And the other perspective that I find really silly is that there's these Palestinian extremists who will shoot rockets at these incredibly heavily armed Israelis, and lo and behold, 1,000 Palestinians will get killed in the attack back, you know? It's like both sides are freaking crazy.
Yeah, but you know, the main problem is not any extremist or any aggressiveness on one side or another. The main problem is Abu Mazen and Israel. This is the Palestinian mafia that oppresses their own people. And they are getting few billions of dollars a year, and they are stealing half of the money and using only half of the money for the sake of the people. And they enjoy the situation. They don't want peace. The only thing that they want is to blame Israel for the misery that they're creating to their own people. And that's the main situation. Because Obama, for example, expects Abu Mazen to help create peace. But Abu Mazen is not interested in peace. His only interest is to blame Israel for the non-existence of peace and for the suffering of the Palestinian public, which was from the very beginning created by the Arab countries, mainly Syria, and the Palestinian leadership. They were never interested in the wellness of the Palestinian public. Always they look to steal money. I mentioned 90 years ago. 90 years ago, the conflict started. It took time. People don't realize how old it is. Only because of greed. Nothing else. And this is what Abu Mazen continues now.
You say Abu Mazen. Who is that, a person or an organization? What is that?
You know, Abu Mazen is Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority.
Okay. And what's his background?
Oh, he was an engineer. But not a rich one. And he made the PhD thesis that suggests that the Holocaust was very minor, about 1 million Jews only were killed by the Nazis. But his main personal corruption is through his children. There was a report submitted to the U.S. Congress about the corruption of his sons that got a lot of money from the situation here, but he enables many others in their leadership to steal billions of dollars every year. And he replaced Arafat in the head of the Palestinian Authority, and he doesn't enable any solution here. But it's not him to blame in this. Arafat was the same. They are afraid to sign anything with Israel because Islam doesn't permit a Muslim leader to give up land that was controlled by Islam in the past. So they cannot afford to sign anything. Yasser Arafat, in the year 2000, when he was in Camp David with Ehud Barak, he was afraid to sign anything. We heard from his bodyguard that if Arafat would have signed anything, his bodyguard himself intended to kill him. Then we heard from an ambassador of Israel in Canada at the later stage that was part of this negotiation, Dr. Anan Baker, that Arafat treated him very nicely and told him, if I will sign anything, in 2 days I will be killed. So this is why they cannot afford to sign anything. And they are
Let me just see if I've got this straight. We can't bring peace to our people or our people will bring death to me.
Well, I was not able to understand. Please repeat.
Was basically the mentality here is, I'm sorry, we can't sign this deal that will bring peace to my people because my people will then kill me.
No, not my people, some extremist. Not the people.
But essentially, that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? You by proxy, extremists are actually controlling the policy, aren't they?
In the Palestinian side, this is right, yes.
And are there extremists on the Israeli side as well that are also messing up with work? Because that was my contention, is that both sides are mired by parts of it that are run by extremists, and it's the extremists who are preventing the peace on both sides, whereas the majority of people just you want to get along and end the conflict. Is that about right?
Not on the Israeli side. On the Israeli side, there are extremists, but they're not controlling anything. And of course, Bibi Netanyahu doesn't want the two-state solution, but he cannot say it. And he uses the situation that the Palestinians refuse to sign in order to blame them, which means both sides are not interested in the two-state solution. But Obama presses both of them, and Europe assists. So what they are doing is just throwing mud on each other, blaming the other side for the situation. But it is the stupidity of the West that doesn't understand what happens here, that presses for the wrong solution, that prevents peace, which means the West mainly are the enemies of peace by insisting on a solution which is wrong and cannot happen. Both wrong and cannot happen. Not that they are wanting to be the enemies of peace, but practically they are the enemies of peace, including the Israeli left that came with a stupid two-state solution idea. There is no place here for two states. With our direction, we are supported by most of the Palestinians that were exposed to our direction. and especially they are frustrated and entirely in despair from their leadership, and they don't believe in any future of a Palestinian state, because the Palestinian state, because of some reason that I can explain later, it will be automatically corrupt. The Palestinian culture is a culture of corruption, and there's no way that a Palestinian state can survive. And it can only bring, as it already brought, misery for the Palestinian public. So many Palestinians, almost everyone that we speak with, are already convinced that the only solution is to be part of Israel, and as the Jews will not accept a bi-national state, and they know about the origin from the Jews, most of them, then they agree to our direction. We have many supporters in the Palestinian camp that are just praying to God that we will be successful with our direction.
I think that's a pretty reasonable idea. Okay. Well, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a break coming very shortly. And I had a very intense conversation with a Jewish friend of mine about this sort of thing, whereas previously I'd been completely on the Palestinian side, saying, oh, the oppressive Israeli administration regime, whatever you want to call it. And I found out that there really is two sides to this. And there's propaganda and madmen on both sides, I've found, you know. And I think what we're talking about here is bringing a bit of sanity and a bit of reality back to the debate. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a few minutes.
We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino Ranga, Tita Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our young with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up
and... Right, and we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, with my very special guest, Zvi Meissenheit, and his website is the-engagement.org, and if you're not an English speaker, there's a little button up in the top right-hand corner that you can click English to translate. Okay, so welcome back, and going over this whole scenario, the conflict's been going on for a long time, and in my opinion, any argument or conflict that goes on for a long time where there's no clear winner, it's usually because both sides are going about it wrong, and they just can't figure it out. What do you think?
Is it a question for me?
Yeah. Do you think both sides have just basically gotten it wrong this whole time? And throwing their lives away on meaningless insanity rather than simply going, you know what, it's not worth it fighting. Let's come together.
These are just symptoms. This is not the reason. On the Palestinian side, the main reason for the conflict from the very beginning, from 90 years ago until today, is corruption of their leadership. On the Israeli side, the main reason is ignorance about who really are the Palestinians. This is the problem, because the Palestinians don't have real leadership. They have only crooks or crazy Muslims, Muslim extremists as the leaders. And this cannot bring peace, because in a situation of misery, there are people around the world, especially in the West, that are willing to pay money for peace. And at the moment that money is being given to these crooks for the sake of peace, they are stealing about half of it. That's on the Palestinian side. On the Israeli side, it is that difficult for the leaders to believe that their worst enemy for the 90 years is actually blood brothers, that now, after everything that happened, are yearning to, and even many of them in the past, but now it's much stronger, to return to the people of Israel and be part of it, because they are entirely ignorant of this, the situation can continue. All the other phenomena are just symptoms of this situation, and these are not the real cause of the problem. The real cause of the problem is that the world, especially the Israeli leadership, but also the West and many others, don't know the truth. You are speaking about the Freedom Radio. Truth brings freedom. And what we are missing is that the world will know that the truth, that Palestinians are not a people of their own. They are not, from the national point of view, they are not Arabs, only from the cultural point of view. From the national point of view, they belong to the historic people of Israel. And only after we realize this astonishing fact, then we can understand another totally different solution that will bring them back to our people and make us a bigger people here, bring us a peace, give the extremists on the Israeli side the complete land of the western side of the Jordan. Historically, also the eastern side of the Jordan was part of Israel, but we don't care about it now. What we need is peace, and peace can only happen with the entire western side of the Jordan being Israel and most of the Palestinian belonging, and it will be a process that will take about 40 years, belonging to the people of Israel. I mean, 40 years gradually. Each year, those that are more prepared to this will convert nationally, not without any religion, religious conversion, to the people of Israel.
Now, do you believe that Israel has a... you obviously believe that Israel has a right to exist, and there'd be other people saying, oh, well, I don't think there's anybody who has a right to exist. You either exist or you don't. And the fact is, they do. And my perspective on this is, look, you've got a conflict that's been going on for far too long, casualties on both sides, there's not enough security, people... obviously, an economy can't really flourish that well if it's fighting any kind of conflict. And I think this is also part of the reason for the economic collapse of the United States, spending $2 billion a day in Iraq. And I was wondering how you felt about Israel's foreign policy, particularly that towards Iran and its so-called nuclear program.
Okay. Let me tell you very clearly, what the postponing of dealing with Iran that Obama is executing now, the postponement, is very dangerous because Iran is increasingly enriching more and more uranium for a higher and higher density. And they will not create an atomic bomb before they will have enough enriched uranium, and they will spread it around Iran to places that nobody in the West, including Israel and the U.S., knows, and an attack on Iran will be impossible. And even if it will happen, they will be able, after an attack, to create enough bombs in order to somehow retaliate. So the current situation, as it continues, is very risky to the entire area and maybe even to the world. And we are just seeing the signs of what can happen with the crazy leadership of North Korea. So definitely, Netanyahu is right about demanding that something more serious will be done with Iran. I'm not saying that they must be attacked, but there must be an ultimatum to Iran to stop their enrichment of uranium. And about this, there's no question that Netanyahu is right, and Obama is like Chamberlain that enabled Hitler to take more and more parts in Europe. Chamberlain was the prime minister of the UK before Churchill. And he just permitted Hitler to take whatever he wants, and that's now what the West is permitting Iran. And so on the Iran side, there's no question that the Israeli leadership is right. But it's important to make peace here, because Iran is using the misery and the problem here to justify the nuclear arsenal that they are preparing. And it is essential to create peace here. If peace here will stop Iran or not, I cannot tell you. But it is essential, even regardless of Iran, to finish the tragedy here. Both the interference to the Israeli economy and the misery of the Palestinian public. It is essential. You cannot imagine how bad is the situation in the Palestinian Authority. I can tell you, for example, in the past, the contributing countries paid money for the Palestinian Authority to buy drugs. And the Palestinian for the hospitals and other medical institutions in the Palestinian authorities, clinics and so on. But the Palestinian leaders stole, and their immediate subordinates stole most of the money. So they started giving the Palestinian authorities drugs. So on one hand, we know about, just as a sample, one guy that had hemorrhoids and was hospitalized, and an operation was made on him, and because there was not enough anesthetic, he just wake up in the middle of the operation. And on the other hand, the manager of the Palestinian Health Ministry was found to sell drugs that they got from the contributing countries in the free market, and putting 200 million shekels, more than $50 million, to his pockets. So this is just a sample to realize the Palestinian corruption, and and a sample to understand the misery of the Palestinian public. They are on the verge of starving. They cannot buy drugs and so on when they need it, because, for example, one of the Palestinian employees that was working for the Palestinian Authority got 1 month 11 shekels, which is about $3 per month. And the only thing he could have bought with this is one pack of cigarettes.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
Okay, I there's no question, there's no need to buy the cigarettes, but he didn't buy them. He bought a bit of food for his family. There are many divorces occurring in the Palestinian authorities because the breadwinner cannot provide the bread. Well, the situation is horrible.
How the situation in Palestine is horrible?
Pardon, the situation in?
Palestine.
There's no Palestine and Israel is the same thing. In the Palestinian Authority, the situation is horrible. Yes. The people are miserable because their leadership is stealing about half of the money, and the contributing countries are already fed up with this corruption, and they don't want to pay anything, especially there's no progress to peace. So why they have to pay for this mafia to steal the money, most of the money?
Because of this, the situation
is horrible. There's no future for any Palestinian independent economy. So they are depending on Israel, and because of their terror, they are not allowed to enter in Israel, to Israel and work here. So we brought many people from Thailand and from other places to replace them. So now, on the one hand, they are not getting what they are supposed to get as payroll from the Palestinian Authority because of the corruption. And on the other hand, many cannot work in Israel. There are some that can work in Israel. So they are left without a source of income. Now, there are tens of thousands that are working in the Israeli settlement, both building and in Israeli industry, in the settlements. And now the Europeans want to make a boycott on Israeli products from the settlements, which means that tens of thousands of Palestinian breadwinners also will lose their work and their bread. So this is what the European left, and some of the Israeli left, not all of them, is planning to do. One factory was already closed in the settlement, was moved to within the Green Line. And the Israelis in the settlement can go to the Green Line and work there. But most of the Palestinians cannot do it. So, not that already enough problem and misery for the Palestinians. Now, this initiative by the left in Europe and part of the left in Israel will add to the misery if it happens.
Well, can I ask as well, what kind of roadblocks are really in the way of this? Is there any outside influence? Because I do know that the United States is inextricably attached to Israel at the hip. You know, there's very many funding organizations, Anti-Defamation League, so on and so forth. Would the United States be opposed to getting Palestinians, which really of Jewish descent, as you've outlined here, becoming part of Israel? Or would they say, no, you're all terrorists, Israel, don't do it? I wonder. We'll find out after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Back in just a few minutes.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators murdering.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment today with my very special guest from the-engagement.org sphere, Maisonai. And we are talking about the Palestine-Israel conflict. The Palestine doesn't really exist. In fact, Palestinians don't really exist. They're all Jewish, of Jewish descent. And we're forced to commit, we're forced to convert to Islam way back in the day. And now there's a conflict, basically, from an entire people internally against themselves. Isn't that strange how history can suddenly make enemies of people who used to be blood brothers? That's weird. The other question is, as I went into over the break, is the massive connection between the United States and Israel, and what the pro-Israel lobbies in the United States would make of your assessment that Palestinians are, in fact, former Jews who were forcibly converted. How would they react to this this one-state solution that you're proposing?
If you're asking about the Israeli lobby, the answer is very simple. As Netanyahu declared that he is for the two-state solution, despite the fact that he's lying and justifying, just with the full justification, he objects to this, but his official position that he's for it, and he knows that it cannot happen anyhow because of the other side. The Israeli lobby doesn't want to listen to any other thing, because this is of the official policy of the government of Israel. And the same thing is the situation in Europe. We have supporters in the German parliament, for example, for our direction. But the Israeli ambassador is telling them that Israel is for the two-state solution. So what can they say? Now, President Obama heard about our findings and about the proposed solution. And he told us, I cannot say to the Jews and the Palestinians that they are blood brothers. It has to come from the local leaders. We'll support anything that will bring peace. But I cannot, as an American, I cannot say it. So what I am proposing, because despite that it sounds astonishing and very revolutionary and so on, because there's no progress, 1 millimeter, there's no progress in the direction of peace, actually, it goes more backwards than forwards, to try something else. And that President Obama will discuss with Israeli leaders that are at the moment, I mean mainly Netanyahu, are reluctant even to meet with us because it sounds that revolutionary. He will press them to examine this proposal. We have some supporters in the Israeli government, but it's not enough. So we hopefully not the Israeli lobby, but the American leadership has to force the Israeli government to examine an alternative. That's all. Once people will start speaking about it, it will be a snowball. Because the people on both sides are yearning for peace. This is just such an astonishing direction that the people are don't believe that this is possible. But speaking about it and discussing it will make it, in the media, will make it possible, because people will understand that this is something viable, just because speaking about it and hearing the reaction of most of the people on both sides.
What about the general public? I would assume that it would require mass media attention in order to inform people of the truth about this scenario, and that the conflict has just been going on for really no good reason, and that the Palestinian Authority is corrupt and taking the Palestinians' wealth and keeping them down. And it makes me wonder, is there somebody like an intelligence operation going on here, like, I don't know, backing the Palestinian Authority from the Israeli side to keep the Palestinians down or anything like that?
No. There is a backing overthrowing of the Palestinian Authority by the Israeli government to some extent in order to prevent the Hamas from taking over. Not in order to create a misery. We are the main victims of this misery because we are being blamed for that misery. So there's no conspiracy to that extent. The only conspiracy that exists is the corruption. But the main problem is not this corruption. The main problem is that the truth is not known. Many Palestinians know the truth. But among the Israelis, even if people heard about it, most of them, and many people in Israel, know about what we are doing. But most of them don't believe it, because about revolution, about revolutionary direction, you have to hear more and more in order to believe. Initially, if you are speaking about 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, nobody in Israel almost nobody in Israel supported the direction of the two states. But as it became, more and more people spoke about it, and the Israeli, part of the Israeli leadership supported it, it was discussed in the media, people got used to the idea. And the same thing, to some extent, must happen here. But in order for the media to speak about it, some of the leaders, of the Israeli leaders, must not only support it silently in government meetings or in some internal discussions, but they have to speak about it. And then it can happen, because we have many supporters in the Palestinian Authority, and if Israel will just open a small window, such a wind will enter the Palestinian camp that either Mahmoud Abbas will have to support it or will be replaced.
Back him into a corner and force peace. Isn't that interesting? You can make something happen just by forcing it to happen. And the problem is, well, the interesting irony is really that most of the times that we force things to happen, it creates conflict. We're talking about really creating an ultimatum whereby peace is the only outcome, right?
This doesn't bring peace. The U.S. has given an ultimatum to Mubarak to step down, and the situation in Egypt deteriorated. Europe has given ultimatum to the Turkish army, and now we got Erdogan that believes that he is the Mahdi, and he has to create problems everywhere. The West has given ultimatum to the Iranian Shah about 30 years ago that he has to step down, and we got the crazy Islam in Iran. There's no point in making ultimatums for the sake of peace. First thing, if somebody wants to do something, he has to learn the facts. What is behind the situation? Not just the symptoms, the reason for the current situation. And for example, in the Arab countries, the problem were not the dictators. Democracy is by no means a solution. The problem in the Arab countries is the ignorance and illiteracy of a major part of the people. This is the problem. And before we can speak about democracy there that will bring any good, you have to make sure that the people will not be ignorant and will not be illiterate. That's much more basic before you can suggest democracy. And there's more to say about democracy, but it's not important now. If democracy is well defined as the least worst solution, but humanity has to get something better. Winston Churchill spoke tens of years ago that in order to understand the weakness of democracy, it's enough to speak for 5 minutes with the average voter. So democracy is not in any case a good solution, but in a place that there is ignorance and illiteracy, and any extremist can sell any lies to the majority of the people and get control on the country, like it happens in Egypt, there is no room for democracy. Democracy is damaging. And this is what the West enforced on Egypt, that makes Egypt a major victim to this. And so there's no issue.
We've run out of time, unfortunately. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to look at his website, the-engagement.org. We'll see you again sometime.